All right, so let's go back to the problem we left with yesterday. What's the, you guys work more on the machlokas, call on the Shoma or call on Tzmosai? And what about Rashi, right? What about Rashi? Rashi said, Hateva choten bechlal ha'hilol, v'lo shari varam. Right, is that the same thing or is that a little different? Right? Yeah. So what do you say? What kind of a machlokas is this? I mean, what bothers me in terms of what bothers me is that they're both quoting different psukim, right? I mean, if you hold the pasuk is the MS, then it's very nice to find one pasuk that says your way, but there's another pasuk that says the other way. So how does that resolve anything? You know? What's the machlokas? Which is the real pasuk? I mean, that can't be. So you have two psukim. So and each expressing something different. So what's the machlokas over here? You know what I'm saying? Right, the Gemara doesn't say, what does he do with his pasuk? When you have a real drasha, so the Gemara will say, oh, you derived it from this pasuk. So what do you do with that pasuk? What does he do with this pasuk? That's not going on over here. So what is the question? What's the difference? So let's analyze it like this. Both of these things are true. There is an idea of Kol HaNeshama and there's an idea of Kol Atzmosai. So what is the difference between those two? What's the difference between Kol HaNeshama and Kol Atzmosai? If we see the difference between Kol HaNeshama and Kol Atzmosai, then maybe we can see what the machlokas is. That was apparently according to one way's view, of one side's view of this halacha, the relevant concept is Kol HaNeshama. According to the other side, the relevant idea is Kol Atzmosai. They're just showing what's relevant to them. But the question is, what does each one indicate, and in what framework would each one be relevant? I know it's a little vague what I'm saying, but hopefully you can fill it in. You know, Neshama is. I understand Kol HaNeshama. Neshama is the part of Adam that perceives the ideas and is moved. Right? That I understand. Kol HaNeshama Tahal El Kol. It means to say that that's makir the idea and is moved to give Shevach. Right? But what's called Atzmosai Tomarna Micha Mocha Hashem? Tomarna Hashem Micha Mocha? Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying?
I was thinking more.
In other words, let's just think this through more carefully. Let's try to be a little more precise. In other words, he is saying, let's follow Rabbeinu Yonah's lead a little bit. What's he saying? He's saying that if you go with Kol HaNeshama, then what? Then the goof is just like any other makom, or like one makom, but probably like any other makom, right? The haksiv kol neshama tal el kol. So what's the haksiv? The haksiv means to say what? That the goof is not what? Is not participating, right? It's the neshama is participating. The neshama is the mahalel. So the guf is like everything else. Right? But what does he say in the second part? He says, what does he say for Rav Chisda? Eino roi l'spal oser, shetzarach sheyihye haguf kulo naki. The guf itself has to be clean. Vishayamo kulo b'makom naki. See, there's a little bit of a. You got to make a little bit of an adjustment according to the Rav Chisda. According to the Rav Huna, it could all be told the same, right? It's just one din of makom. The guf is part of the makom, and the surroundings are part of the makom. According to Rav Chisda, you got to make a slight adjustment, right? There's two dinim over here. One din is the guf has to be naki, and the makom has to be naki. Why the haksiv? Now the haksiv is going apparently back on the guf, not on the makom, right? The haksiv kol atzmosai tomar nashemikamocha. So what is the haksiv? What's the haksiv? Because that's saying that what? That the guf is participating? Well, that's going to be difficult. I mean, so you're going to say it's a machlokus, is the guf participating or is the nefesh participating? The same to Hillel. So, you have to have a different idea of kol atzmosei tamar. Kol neshama tahalel, that does seem like that's the active element. Right? That's saying there's an active element. The active element is the neshama. What's kol atzmosei tamar? And kol atzmosei would demand the guf naki. Tahalel. But it seems to me calling the Shema is focusing on the Maisa. Right? That there's that in terms of the Maisa of Tehillah, in terms of the Maisa of Hallel, call HaNeshama Tehillah Ka. Person does it with an undivided spirit. Right? It's describing like you said, I want your undivided attention, I want your complete attention. So all of your neshama is participating. Without reservation. But that's describing. That's a pasuk in terms of the maisa, right? The maisa, the action, the activity. What's kolatz mosai tamar na michamocha? It seems that's describing not the maisa. But what? What's left?
I would say that.
What does it mean? What do people say? Don't people say things like that? I believe this with every fiber of my body. And people say things like that. I'm with every fiber of my body. What does that mean? Oh, I mean, David the Melch apparently has some idea. What does that mean? You can't say it. How could you say something with every fiber of your body? What do you mean you say it? How can you say it with every fiber of your body?
Isn't it like
they act in that way? Like everything that I do is visiting the area, everything I do is in my life. Right. So doesn't it describe the Gavra? That's what I'm trying to get to over here. In other words, it's not talking about the maisa of being mishalel. It's not the maisa of mahalel, but you could say that I am fully committed. Right, all of my actions express this. That the Gavra as a whole is it's more of a statement of the individual, right? That everything he sees his whole guf, he sees everything as a part of kol atzmosei tamar na shemi chamocha. That's what everything is dedicated to, right? That's what everything is dedicated to. They're both true. One is in terms of the Maisa Mahalel, right? That he is Mahalel with a full neshama, and the other one is that's in terms of the action. But then there's also an idea that the Gavra himself, as an individual, is a certain. Expresses a certain concept.
How would that fall into the realm of saying, like the halakha of saying Kriya Shema?
Oh, so then you'll have to say that they're arguing about the din of Nikias. What's the din of Nikias? So Rav Huna is saying that why is a din in the Maisa of Tehillah? Right? It would be a lack in the maisa of being a mahalel. It would be a ganai in the activity of being a mahalel. And Rav Chista is saying that there's a din when you're a mahalel, it's not just a maisa of tehillah. but it's also a kvius in the gavra. And the state of the, and there's a din, the din of nikias extends even to being, to the effect of the mice and the gavra. That you can't be a mahalel unless you have a guf naki. Why? Because it's going to lack in the gavra hamalel. Admittedly, I'm struggling a little with this, but like Rashi says, see that's what Rashi says, that the peh and the chotem are what? That's how you, the chlal ha'hilo. Meaning to say that to do the maisa hilo with concurrently with a maisa of bizayon, in other words, you're using the same apparatus. That's not kol haneshama tahalel. If part of the neshama is involved in something that's contrary to nikias, is part of the tzoe is contrary to the tehillah. So
does he see it? What's one of those factors? Like, let's say he feels it.
Feels it, not a problem. That's not participating. In other words, No, this is not a din of the eyes. This is not a din of the eyes.
He's not allowed to see, right?
No. What is that? Right? In other words, he's looking at Rav Chista's look. Who's the Rav Huna? He's looking at the guf like makom. So that's the din in makom, that if it's mechusa, it's mutter. Right?
But that's exactly like when Rav Huna also says it's because of Kol HaNeshama?
In other words, that's correct. But he's saying Kol HaNeshama has to show you that the Isser is an Isser in terms of the Maisa. Right? To be Mahalel Mitoch Tzoa. Right?
That's going to affect your Maisa.
So he says, so then it's only in terms of the, you have to isolate, he shows you the pasuk, that the neshama is considered to be the actor. So from the pasuk, that's the neshama that's doing the maisa. So then it shows you that even if it's on your guf, the guf is still to the guf is not part of the maisa. So if it's all in this, or in terms of maisa, so the fact that it's on the guf doesn't make a difference. Because the guf is not the maisa, it's called neshama. It's the neshama is the maisa. Yeah.
No, I'm saying like,
see, Rashi doesn't want to say that it means a non-physical. He's saying it's only a particular element of your guf. It's only a certain part of your guf that's used. Right? He doesn't want to go into a mind-body thing like you were saying.
He's saying
right. That's the physical non-physical problem. But
why are they your ears?
Your ears? How are your ears part of the tehillah?
You have to hear.
No, you don't have to be able to hear. A deaf person can give can be mahalo. So he's saying kol haneshama. It's only considered since there's kol haneshama tahalel ka. It means to say it's isolating. You have a particular organ of tehillah. That is considered the maisa is considered done with that particular, with those particular organs, the mouth and the nose. So you don't say it's the whole guf. So in terms of the maisa, as long as there's nothing that is besoch, as long as those two. The fact that it's on your Rashi is just negating. He's just saying the fact that it's on your guf doesn't mean that you're automatically being mahalo b'toch mitoch tzoa. It's only going to be a din of the mukom that you're in. You understand? It's a negation. He's telling you those two things to negate. Don't think that since the tzoa is on me, I'm automatically a mahalel mitoch lack of nikias. No. Because the tzoa is not on the part of me that is mahalel. So in terms of the guf, in terms of the other part of me that has the tzoa, that's just like the ground. In terms of, if I can isolate and say that pen and totem are the only things that are the active in the tehillah, so then everything else is just like the floor. So if the tzoa was on the floor and it would be covered, it'd be good. Right? So too, it doesn't matter that it's on my arm. The arm is not part of the maisa.
Right? Drying.
So that's that. So right. So in other words, that's really Rav Huna's svara. His svara is that the isser is that the maisa shouldn't be ma'urav with the maisa should be betoch nikias. The maisa should emerge mitoch nikias. So it's just in terms of the maisa. So you just have to isolate where is the maisa stemming from. Who's Rav Huna? I said I changed it. You just have to isolate where is the maisa originating from, who is doing the maisa. If I can say it's the pen and the chotem is doing the maisa, then everything else is just a question of where is the pen and the chotem. Is the pen and the chotem in a makom that has tzoa present? So, but it looks at everything else like it's something else. Like it looks at the body like part of the landscape. So as long as I cover it up, I'm fine. But he has to show you from the pasuk that you can regard an isolated part of the person as doing the maisa. That's what he's showing. But it's his svara first. You understand what I'm saying? He had a svara first. His svara was that the isser is in terms of the maisa. Now the pasuk can help him to isolate and show you that the maisa, in terms of the maisa, he can restrict it to the neshama. But he's not deriving his svara from the pasuk. If he was deriving his svara from the pasuk, then he would have a problem with the other pasuk. Yeah, you understand in terms of the methodological what I'm saying? B-Mac? Okay. So then you have to say that Rav Chista has a different svara. His svara is not just that there's a din of Nikias, not just there's a din of Tehillah Mitoch Nikias, that the Shevach has to be Mitoch Makom that's Naki, but what? I mean, the question is being asked, but it says Kolat Mosay Tomarno, right? Kolat Mosay Tomarno. Yeah. So, what's the difference between Tahal and Tomarno? Why doesn't it say Kolat? If it said Kolat Mosay Tahal El Hashem, then we'd be in trouble, right? So, what's the difference?
The speech is just. That's like the means through which the hillel is being accomplished. But that there's like a physical medium of speech.
Everybody, two words, speaks. Everybody speaks. But not every mouth is mahalel. Not every nefesh is mahalel. Now, some bodies say good things, some bodies say bad things. What do I mean by that? I mean to say that every person represents a certain way of life. Right? And their goof, the way they treat their goof and what they do with their goof makes a statement. What do we tell you guys? You gotta cut your hair, you gotta look like a mensch. Why? Because when you leave the building, you're making a statement. Making a statement about Yeshiva Bnei Torah. Right? So your goof expresses something. Your goof expresses something. But the fact that it expresses something is tomarna. But what it expresses, that depends on your ideals and how you behave. But mahalal is a certain kind of an expression, right? Mahalal is a certain kind, is a certain different activity. To be a mahalal is a whole different activity, right? The guf is not mahalal. It can't be engaged in a different kind of communication. You know what I'm saying? Tehillah is a certain kind of a communication. It's a certain kind of a speech. Is this chiluk making any sense?
I was thinking
Let me try again. you can say that tehillah, to be mahalel, is a certain kind of an involvement, a certain kind of a, has a whole order to it. There's a concept involved, there's a recognition involved, there's a structure involved, right? We say you can't say tehillah lemafreya. Because it has to be Gimboa Shemesh. Has to be there's an order, there's a seder, there's a whole structure to it, right? So to be a mahalel is a certain activity that I engage in with my mouth and with my mouth, right? But it has a certain idea of being mahalel. How am I mahalel? I'm mahalel through dibur, of course. But the dibur is really a vehicle of the being a mahalel. Mahalel itself is a different kind of an activity. Hallel is a different kind of an activity. It's a certain activity, right? A certain form of expression. Now, but the guf can't be active. The guf, when we say the guf says something, the guf expresses something about you. Not that the guf can choose to say what it wants to say. The guf can't engage in a different kind of activity of expression. It's a figure of speech. We say that we can, from how you act, that communicates something. We can just tell something about you from the way you act, right? But it's not really that the guf can engage in an active way, in a speech. It's an expression. Tehillah is something that you have to engage in. To be mahalel is something that you engage in. To say that your body says something about you, that's in the passive way. Okay? So that's what I mean to say. Every person gives a certain message through the way they look, the way they act, the way they behave, right? But all that means is that people can understand something about you from what you do, right? So kol atzmoso tomarna is a generic term. Because everybody's guf, everybody is tomar something. Everybody's atzmos are saying something. But my atzmos, kol atzmosai tomarna, what? What's unique about atzmosai? Not that they're speaking, but what they're saying. That they're saying, Hashem mi kamocha. Right? But in terms of tehillah, the fact that I'm engaged in the tehillah itself is what's unique. Right? Kol neshama tahalel. The neshama is tahalel. Doesn't say kol neshama tomar something. Because the neshama as the active part of man can engage in a unique activity of hilul. But the guf can't engage in hilul. The guf can just make sure that what it's expressing is proper. It's a passive form. One is active and one is passive. The neshama is active, right? And it can say, I'm not speaking, I'm mahalel. I'm osek in something. I'm osek in tehillah. I'm a mahalel. The guf can't be a mahalel. Kolatz mosa, you can't say all of my bones is everything is a mahalel. Where? How is it saying it? How is it saying tehillah? My bones are being mishaber? No. But I can say, from what you do, I can read your values. Kol atzmosai tomarna michamocha
Hashem. Can you carry yourself?
But the point is like this. That mahalel is a different kind of an activity. Kol neshama tahalel. That's a new activity. Kol atzmosai tomarna. There's nothing new about tomarna. There's nothing special about tomarna. What's special is Hashem Michamocha, what they're expressing, what the Atzmos are expressing. What's unique about the Neshama is what it's doing. It's Mahalel. What's unique about the Atzmos is not what they're doing. Everybody's Atzmos are saying something. What's special is what they're saying. You understand the Chiluk? That's why the Lashon is different. That's what I'm trying to say. The Lashon is different. Mahalel would not be applicable by the Atzmos. Because Mahalel, and that's what the Psukim indicate. The indication of Mahalel is being Osek in a certain type of an activity. That's the neshama, is it chooses the activities to be Osek in. Tomarna means it's expressing something. That from the I can see something like Hashemayim Misaparim, quote Kel. What are they communicating? Misaparim just means communication, but what are they communicating? Kvod Kel. Right? They're not, you wouldn't say they're Mishabchim. Right? That implies a choice. That implies a choice. It implies an intelligence, an intellect. Yeah.
I'm
going to find a pasuk. No, halleluhu. Right. You should do this with an instrument. Because you're right. I'm trying to show you that if you looked at what you said, that Tomarna seems like the same thing as Hallel.
It seems that it implies that they're doing a Maisa just like your Neshama.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm trying to show you. It's not.
Well, not just like your Neshama, but meaning they're doing a Maisa. It is doing a Maisa simply because Tomarna is a verb.
Correct. But what I'm showing you is Tomarna is a generic verb. Right.
So meaning it's not really emphasizing that part of the sentence, that part of the puzzle.
So you can't say that the speech is a different speech. You understand? Mahalel is a different kind of a speech. To be Mahalel is a different kind of a speech than to be Medaber. Right? So you say the Neshama is Mahalel. That means the Neshama is Osek in a different activity. It's Osek in an activity of Shevach. The guf is Tomarna. Tomarna is not a mice of Sheva. You understand? It's just an expression of something. So what I'm trying to show you from that is that when in terms of the mice of Tehillah, it's only applicable to the Neshama. In terms of the guf, all you can say is that it represents something. You understand what I'm trying to say, P-Mac? It would only be a question if you're going to say that the guf is a mahalel. But it's not. To be a mahalel would indicate that it's osek in the, that it's part of the maisa. It's not part of the maisa. The neshama is part of the maisa. And that's why it has a unique term, mahalel. You don't say, kol neshama medaber hilulim. No, it's a whole new activity. Mahalel is a different activity. I can't make my guf be anything more than a tomarna. I can just ensure that what it's telling people, that what it's saying is good. But the only way to convert it into the only way to turn it into a hilul would be if it's actually performing the hilul. But the guf is just a passive expression. It can't perform anything. Right? So it's really in terms of kol haneshama tahalel, that's focusing on the motive, on the mover. Right? That's the maisa according to Rashi, the one that the active part of man. The part of the aver that is osik in the tehillah. But in terms of the guf, it's just a statement about the gavra himself. He's a gavra. This gavra stands for something. This gavra expresses an idea that Hashem Yichamocha from everything he does. So that's focusing on the gavra. That a gavra who is mahalel, the neshama that is mahalel produces a guf that says, Hashem Michamocha. You understand?
Did you define this in Rashi and the many other
times? I'm sort of leaving it loose. Leaving it loose. Rashi, the Rabbeinu doesn't say exactly that it's not the goof. He doesn't really talk about it. I'm just leaving it either as the Aver or the actual Neshama. Rashi doesn't want to go so far away from the physical.
But there could be an afterlife.
Could be. I don't know. I have to think about that.
So you're saying they had a Machlokas. The Machlokas is really, is the Psul of Tsoa Psul in the Maisa of Hillel? Or is it a Psul in the Gavra?
In the Gavra, right. Well, we have to define the second side a little better, because that sounds a little like, what does that mean? But,
And therefore they're showing you.
So Rav Chista Rav Huna is showing you that the Maisa is restricted to one element of man, whether it's the neshama or a particular aver, right? So therefore, the Maisa is in terms of a psul of the psul is that the Maisa has to be mitoch nikius. So as long as I can isolate from a pasuk where the maisa is considered to be coming from, everything else is just where it's is just its surroundings. So there's no reason to give the guf an elevated status over anything else, right? Whereas Rav Chista is saying no, there's an idea of Tehillah producing a certain gavra. There's an idea of a mahalel being a certain gavra. And if you're not concerned with the Gavra HaMahalel, that's the psul. There's a psul that the psul of Nikios is that the let's see if we can define it a little better. What's he saying? He's saying that demands a gufnaki. Right? If you're gonna he's saying let's try something out. His problem is like this. If you're going to say, like I was saying before, that Rav Chista is simply saying that is a din in the Gavra HaMahalel has to be Naki, so what does he need a pasuk for? Right? And I understand Rav Huna is saying that is a din of the Maisa Tehillah. The Maisa Shevach has to be Mitoch Nikius. But if you're going to learn, it's an idea that the Gavra who's doing the Maisa has to be Naki. So what do you need the pasuk for? We know who the Gavra is. You need the pasuk to prove who the Gavra is. Right? Right?
I thought you said he's not learning it from the pasuk. He's just using.
But what's the pasuk saying? You need the pasuk to say who's.
No, it's showing. I mean, it's showing that idea that we don't, you know, we don't just measure in terms of like abstract, you know, like what his neshama is doing, but.
So you have to say like this, and according to him, that there would not be a concept of a psul in the gavra, right, unless the maisa tehillah completed the gavra in a certain way. Unless the maisa had an effect on the gavra in a certain way. You understand? In other words, because there's a logical problem. There's a logical problem. You say that if you say that there's a psul in the gavra, what does it mean to say there's a psul in the Gavra? Right, let's say that, well, if the Gavra does not have a guf naki, he can't be Mahalel. It's a psul in the Gavra. I mean, you could say that, but what sense does that make? Right? If the Gavra can do the Maisa perfectly, so why should there be a psul in the Gavra? In other words, if Tehillah is a Maisa, right, and it's done with the pen, the chotem, and there's nothing that's going to interfere with it, if it's so underneath your clothing, there's nothing that's interfering with the Maisa, right? So in what sense is the Gavra not Roy? I mean, to say there's a psul in the Gavra means that he has a limitation on doing the activity, right? That there's something that he's mufka from the activity for some reason, right? But if the Maisa is really bin neshama, calling neshama, everybody, even Rav Chista agrees the Maisa is bin neshama, so in what way is the Gavra... where's the psul in the Gavra? He can do the Maisa. Just arbitrarily, he's not allowed to do the Maisa? Yeah.
What would you say by Mitzvah Ba'al Aveira? I mean, why is it a logical problem? Because certain things in halakha demand certain presentations or certain expressions.
No. But that's exactly my point. It has to be habo. There are a lot of halachic requirements. It has to be really habo, right? Not just you did an isser when you were doing a mitzvah. It has to be a real chain of Hold on. Right? So it means to say, so you have to analyze the habo, right? So now here, where is the tehillah coming from? It's coming from the pen, the chodem. So the fact that another part of the guy concurrently has tzoah, that would be like a guy doing a mitzvah and an aver at the same time. It has to be, it's biyachad, bad choice of words. It has to be the same maisa, not just two things at the same time. Right? Be like a guy gives tzedakah and says lashon hara at the same time. So he'd say, the mitzvah, but of course, it's not habo, it's just he happens to be doing two things at once. Right? If he stole and gave tzedakah, you could say it's a mitzvah baba vera. Even then, it's not so simple. There's whole complicated cases in Shabbos. If a guy steals on Shabbos, is he over for Akira or Hanocha? When is the Kenyan? Right? Not so simple, because you're not going to be chayav until you do the Hanocha, but you steal when you did the Akira, so it's not. All these things of getting the two things together, it's not a mitzvah baba vera case, but it's a case that you see how luckily the requirements for things to be in the same maisa. But that's the problem over here. So you say a mitzvah baba vera means that the very same thing of the mitzvah can't be that it came from the from avera. But over here, they're two separate elements. The peh is mahalel, and under my arm, and under the clothing on my arm is tzoah. So what's the difference, right? What's the connection? You know what I'm saying, D-Mac? What would be a psul and the gavra over there? The psul in the maisa is that the maisa has to be emerging from a certain setting.
So the maisa comes in from the gavra also?
That what?
Has to emerge from the setting of the gavra?
No. That's a good svara. But that's sort of like the next sashit in the Ran. But it has to emerge. He's saying that since the peh and the chotem are the things that are the maisa, so then everything, it's only emerging from the peh and the chotem. You just have to look at the surroundings of the peh and the chotem. If everything with regard to the peh and the chotem is covered, so then there's no, so then where it's coming from is not, and if you can say it's coming from the gavra, that's not true. Call the neshama talakah. The maisa is coming from the peh and from the peh. That's the makom of the maisa. There's a din in the makom of the maisa. Not every setting is roi for every activity. What's that? I've got that glazed look. So you hear what I'm saying? BMAC, problem. If I can't get the problem across, then the answer's not going to be any good. Right? What I'm saying is, the problem that was bothering me is, what does Rav Chisda need a pasuk for? Just say simply, right, according to you, what would you need a pasuk for? Just say simply that it can't come from a gavra that has a tzoah on him.
No, but why is that a problem? Because the pasuk tells you that the pasuk tells you what the psul of the gavra is.
Oh, that's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm saying. Without the pasuk, you wouldn't be able to make this psul of the gavra. It's all.
I have no idea what you're about to say.
That's what he's saying. He's saying that answers the question. No, is it really is a psul in the gavra, right? But if it were just a maisa, then there would be no basis to say psul magavra. Why is this gavra puzzle? Can you do the maisa mitoch nikios? Yeah, because the maisa emanates from the pen and the chotem, and vis-a-vis the pen and the chotem, everything else is naki. So you wouldn't just be able to say no. There's a psul magavra. Why? The gavra, the psul and the gavra would only be if it's purely a maisa, the psul and the gavra would only be because he can't do the maisa.
What's the difference between that and my comment? Like,
there's no difference. Right, there's no difference. According to which side in Makom? Because he's saying it's all Makom.
The problem is that, he has to learn out that, because he could just do the Maisa, right?
Right.
With still being a certain type of Gavra.
Right.
And you do that same Maisa in a certain place also. That's learned out from someone else. I mean, some teach us the loop here.
One second. Hold on to your question. I'm not sure. Tell me if I answer it now. Now, so what Rav Chisda is saying is he's showing you a pasuk that shows you that the Maisa Tehillah creates a certain kind of a gavra. And so you don't say if a guy is notal alulog, he's a different kind of a gavra. But if he's a mahalel, then he is a different kind of a gavra. So now you can say that if the gavra is not, you know, if the gavra himself is not naki, meaning to say he's not roi to represent the idea that the maisa will produce, then he's mufka as a gavra from the maisa. You understand? As long as the maisa is just done with one organ of the body, like a netilas lulav, there's no basis to have a psul gavra if he can do the maisa. What's the basis of a psul gavra? He can do the maisa. You understand? It's only because of the pasuk kolatz mosai tomar nashem micha mocha that this, it's only because this maisa creates a certain kind of a gavra. So now you can say that there's a psul gavra because there is a gavra now. You understand? In most other, in an ordinary mitzvah, there's just a maisa. There's no basis to say if a guy is has something going on in one part of his body, he's not roy for the maisa. You have that like by certain cases you have that. Kola roy labila in bila makev. They say if a guy can't speak, he's not roy to do chalitza, because part of the chalitza is speaking. So who's the gavra of chalitza? The gavra of the chalitza is the one who can do all of the maisa chalitza, even if this maisa is not ma'akev. But he's not a gavra of chalitza because he's not roy to do all maisa chalitza. Okay, so that makes sense. The psul and the gavra is what? That he can't do the maisa. That's the psul and the gavra. If he can't do the maisa, what do you need the psul and the gavra for? Because the maisa is not makev. You understand? So you can say, yeah, there's a psul and the gavra. Where's the psul and the gavra stem from? From the inability to do a maisa. Even a maisa is not makev. It would be a psul and the gavra. But if tehillah is just a maisa with the pen and the chotem, and he can do it, and then the tzoa is covered, so where's the psul and the gavra? Because he has tzoa on his body. It doesn't make sense. There's no connection. It's only because of the pasuk that you can pull it back in and say, since this maisa is not just a maisa, it's also a kiyam gavra of kedusha, of expressing ideas. That's what demands a gufnaki. Now you can say the nikias is a psul and the gavra. So they're really both, they're arguing about whether it's a psul and the maisa or a psul and the gavra. Rav Huna needs a pasuk to show you the maisa is restricted to peh and chotem. And Rav Huna needs a pasuk to show you that there's a kiyam gavra. You understand?
Which pasuk is that?
Kolatz mosai.
Kolatz mosai teaches you that.
Of course. It teaches you that when
how
you
does
are.
Teach you that the maisa, that the certain type of gavra is created by maisa and hilul.
What else is telling you?
I'm saying that kolatz mosai doesn't kol and neshama talk about hilul.
Kol and neshama, they both go together. They're both part of tehillim. That who's atzmos are someone who recognizes, someone who's pan chotem recognizes, or whose neshama recognizes the truth. I'm not saying. You're right. I'm not saying it's dafka that, but he's saying this might, when you're a mahalel, you're representing a guy who's living on the proper level. That gavra is a gavra of kolatz mosai. So if you're not roy, if this type of a maisa demands a gavra that's roy for the chalos. So if you don't have that, if you're lacking in the kiyas aguf. Why is not roy? He's maluchlach b'tzora. That's he's right for the Maisa, but not for the Gavra, but not for the Ki. But since this Maisa has an effect in terms of the Gavra too, you can say there's a Psal Gavra.
That effect you still have.
No, you can't. You can't. A guy who has a messy cupboard can't be expressing. A guy who doesn't take whose guf is meluchlach is not it's not a guf that's right to express proper ideas. I mean, we can talk about that. That's like a premise of the whole thing, that nikias is part of the whole expression. You can question that too. You can say, why can't a guy be mispalam mitol tzara? I mean, you can question that, but that's the premise right now we're working with. That premise, wherever the expression is going to be connected. It's because the tzoa is soser. So if it's the maisa, it's going to be soser. Or if the maisa is mitoch that makom, but if there's a kim in the gavra, it's going to be soser. If the gavra is mitzuruf to that, it could be mitzuruf either because it's on him or because he's in the makom.
Huh?
No, not every mitzvah is like this. Not every mitzvah is like this.
Every mitzvah, you can say the king of kolot looks like Tamar, or like lulav or whatever. Definitely mitzvahs of sheva, like lulav.
No, you don't say kolot looks like Tamar. You say this mitzvah, yeah, this maisa. Why? Because shema is kabbal somochu shemayim, and it's only shema. It's only three things. It's shema, it's tefillah, and it's talmud Torah. Right? It's only those three things where they engage the nefesh. It's only the things that engage the nefesh. Because that's what defines the gavra. Not one, I mean, all of his actions stem from the nefesh. Ultimately, picking up the lulav comes because of his nefesh. So everything, the statement of the gavra is not from the action, it's from the nefesh that's guiding all those actions. Right? So what's the second side?
You're saying the statement is from the action. Kolos Mosai Tamara means that even without the nefesh, that every body, the way that it acts, is a certain, you can see the way that this person acts.
But the point is like this, that that it's only the neshama is the cause and the source of the it's only because the actions reflect back on the neshama, right, that makes a statement. So to do a maisa of the neshama that can't produce that reflection is a problem in the activity. That means that it's an incomplete maisa. It won't have its proper effect. Part of its effect is going to be impossible to achieve. But the mitzvah of the Tilas Lulav is not a mitzvah to produce a certain effect of showing Kolos Mosai Tamarna. That's one particular maisa you have to do. One particular maisa never makes a statement about your guf. That's one particular maisa. It's an isolated thing. But the neshama is what unifies everything that you do. Right?